Yo, what's happening? John Fitch here. John Fitch knows nothing. I'm a little dapper tonight, I guess. I got the face scruffed, trimmed up. It's been a while, but I thought I'd beautify myself a little bit. Shave some years off. I'm thinking about cutting a hair, I think maybe soon too. I'm not sure what I'm gonna do with it. Maybe something wavy like a Bon Jovi. I don't know. What do you think? Dreads? Should I do dreadlocks? King Hap already bringing it. Cheers to you over at the Happy Hour Social Club. I appreciate you. The $19.99 super chat. I dig it. Get us kicked off here the right way. Ah, some Pabst. Blue Ribbon. Got a blue ribbon for a reason, guys. But yeah, we got stuff to talk about. There's fights, and then the biggest news in MMA history dropped this last week. So I'll talk maybe a touch on that. If you guys really want your answers, questions, make sure you put them in the chat. Super chats will get a lot more attention, that's for sure. Mitch saying my channel is sending out more notifications recently. I don't know. Maybe I got picked up in the algorithm and so they're pushing it or something. I think the my video guy Peter is doing a great job putting together little reels and shorts, and I've been putting those up. So there's a couple week that I'll put up on the you on the sorry on the YouTube and on my Twitters and Instagrams, and they do okay numbers because I feel bad for them sometimes because they're really small clips, 30 seconds to a minute. They're out of context, and it really gets the low IQ people riled up, and they have a lot of things to say, you know. They won't ever take the time and energy to actually listen to the long form of it, which would probably answer all of their questions. But there's a reason why they're not smart people. We got some questions. We're gonna talk about it all, guys. We're gonna start with the fights, and I think we'll finish off crescendo with the class action stuff, right? Because there'll be some questions about that, I'm sure. Yes, Mark Coleman is a stud. Saved his parents' lives. Their house was on fire. His dog, poor dog, Hammer. What a glorious animal. We don't deserve dogs. His Rottweiler, Hammer, woke up Mr. Coleman, and there was smoke in the house. There was a fire. He was able to save his parents, but he was unable to find the doggo before he himself was overcome with the smoke, the inhalation in his lungs there. So he's alive, he's well, and his parents are alive. Poor Hammer. God bless you, Hammer. Well, cheers to a beautiful dog. Now the fights. His new dog, Martello, means hammer. Okay. Martello. Yep. Lawsuit is part of an ongoing plan, right? It's not a one-off. So we'll get to that stuff. It'll come. First and foremost, let's talk about bare knuckles. Did you guys watch the bare knuckles in Bulgaria? I did not catch the entire show. I only caught probably I think it was the last three fights that I was able to pay any attention to. Right. The Ivanov and Asimov fight was not necessarily a great fight. It was weird. Like weird things kept happening, and then it was a draw. So I don't know. That was just kind of a strange fight. I don't know if there's something lost in what's going on with in Bulgaria, but I don't have much of an opinion on that fight other than it was bizarre. Newman gets beat by Bakosevich. I'm guessing Bakosevich. Big scary dudes. Bakosevich wins that fight. 165 pounds. This guy's from Serbia. Let me go. Oh, I forgot to hit the thing for you guys. Share that screen. But yeah. So like, yeah, this fight and the fight before, the two fights that I did see before the main event weren't like super crazy great. I don't know. That was just, you know, my observation. Maybe they're in a new place, new country, new fighters. They don't quite get the bare knuckle sway yet. But the main event was something else. The main event was phenomenal. These guys, I blow it up. These guys, monsters. They threw down for five hard rounds. I had it as a close fight. I could have seen it go either way. I think Kolev could have been had his hand raised, and I don't think people would have been really mad. But Margulev was a they're both just monsters. They're studs. They stood in the pocket. They threw big punches. They got cut up. They got bloodied up. They just kept going. I don't know. I would like to see both of these guys over here in America fighting some of the regulars that they got in the BKFC. These guys look like excellent assets to what they're doing here with this promotion, and more guys like this, I think, will help round the sport out even more. I'm a fan of the bare knuckles, guys. I didn't get to watch all of it. It was an earlier fight, and I was spending most of my time watching NCAAs. I was watching NCAAs. NCAAs were absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Did you guys watch NCAAs? You take the time to watch the NCAAs? If you're not taking the time to watch wrestling, you might be able to watch some of the playbacks. All right, I got the Hulu, which shows the ESPN Plus stuff, and you can watch the matches that you didn't miss live. You can watch each mat and all the matches on each mat. I think I watched damn near every single match for that entire tournament over those 3 days. And you don't get a better sport than wrestling. I'm sorry, man. I don't see it. I don't see any other sport being better and more exciting than wrestling. Everything else seems kind of fake and gay. It really does. Like basketball, who cares? A bunch of tall guys doing tall guy stuff. I don't care. You wrestling, you have guys with different body sizes, different body shapes, and they're all tough. Tall, skinny guy, short, thick guy. They're all tough. They can put things together and make things happen to the absolute best athletes. Best athletes, hand down. They can go off and do other sports. Like you'll see guys, Stephen Neal was a national champion wrestler, went to football, was a NFL world champion in football, went from wrestling to football. You have the majority of champions in MMA and the UFC came from a wrestling background. Like, I'm sorry. There is no superior sport than wrestling. The mentality, the physicality, the discipline, the grit, the work ethic doesn't happen. And these guys are doing it just because they want to do it. It has nothing to do with fame or notoriety or money. It doesn't get any more pure of a sport than wrestling. It doesn't get any better. It just doesn't. You cannot argue to me for 1 second why any other sport compares at all. I like judo. I like judo a lot, because I think judo is similar to the mentality that wrestlers have. I really do. But it doesn't get better. It doesn't. It doesn't get better in wrestling. And I'm going to say it, man. I don't trust people at all. I don't trust people at all who don't like wrestling. If you can't watch two guys who spent their whole life learning how to beat somebody up without punches, and you can't respect that, and you can't watch these, like, what was it, Kirk Vlett and Davison. You can't watch Kirklett and Davison wrestle heavyweights, two heavyweights, 285-pound guys wrestle and beat on each other, and you can't get excited and you can't be impressed and watch that. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. Like, I don't know, man. It's weird. Sengalese wrestling, that sounds, yeah. Wrestling, it's an art. It's something else, man. It's not for, it's a sophisticated sport. It's a sophisticated sport compared to all this other hoopla bullcrap. Nothing's better than wrestling. It's crazy. If you want your kids to grow up to be good people, make them wrestle. You know, like, you want your kids to have confidence and to not get pushed around and bullied, make them wrestle. I can't even number how many guys who won a national title and turned right around and was like, yeah, I have to give all glory to God. Like, you know, it's selfish for me to make this for myself, about me. Like, you don't get that in a lot of other sports. You don't. I don't see a comparison, man. Like, and that's why I love watching the NCAA tournament, is because, you know, once a year I get reminded of where I came from and how amazing of a sport wrestling is. And I get that itch to, like, want to go back and compete and wrestle when I watch it, because it's just the blood and guts involved in fighting somebody with your hands and snapping them to the ground and hitting your double leg and just dominating a person one-on-one. No one else is out there with you. No one else takes responsibility or the glory. It doesn't get any better than that. It just doesn't get better than that. Wrestling is number one sport. It is an art. It is the toughest, hardest thing anyone will ever do. Fighting professionally was easy compared to wrestling. 100%. Hamzamir, what are you putting up on my screen, huh? Oh, the Sengalese wrestling? Yeah, this stuff's wild. Here, I'll put this up because it's definitely interesting. Let's watch some Sengalese wrestling. Arm throw. Boom, big throws. So, Sengalese wrestling is great. Freestyle wrestling, great. Greco-Roman wrestling, great. But folk style, American folk style wrestling is just different. It's completely different because it has a control element that other wrestling doesn't have. The riding time, the escapes from bottom, it's not necessarily comparable. And, you know, the one big heavyweight, Schultz, I think, he's a Greco guy. He's a big Greco guy. He competes internationally, does really well. Huge dude, has to cut down hard to make 285. And he doesn't have much top game. He doesn't have much mat wrestling, because that's, you don't have to do it in Greco. You know, you have to have some turns. But, you know, even watch the Sengalese wrestling real quick. It's a lot of throws. They hit the ground. There's no control. It's just a different element in they do have punches, though. Different element. Oh, man. I realize that. Roadhouse movie? Nope. I have no interest in at all watching a coked out rapist butcher a movie I love. I have no interest. No interest at all. What else we have? All right. So we had what? 10 weight classes. There's 10 weight classes in college wrestling, if you don't know. Folk style is a different form of wrestling. College wrestling is a different form of wrestling than Olympic wrestling. Olympic wrestling, you have Greco Roman wrestling, which is all upper body throws. You can't use your legs to trip. You can't use your legs to block. It's all just upper body throws. It's kind of like no-gi judo. Kind of like no-gi judo. When you are on the ground and you hit the ground, you get points for turns. Anytime you can expose the back to the mat, if you break 90, you get points. So, freestyle same thing, but you can't attack with the legs. You can't attack the legs like in folk style. But the control is different. Once you take them down, you got a set amount of time, a short period of time, like 15 seconds, 20 seconds to turn the guy, or you go back to neutral and you have to get another takedown. So it's very takedown and throw oriented and heavy. Or college wrestling is much more about controlling and dominating the other guy, controlling it on top, controlling him through the takedowns. I really like the new scoring protocols. I like the 3-point takedown. I think that's really good because before, you know, and this is what I did when I was in my senior year of high school, you take a guy down, you'd cut him, let him up, take him down again. Well, you get 2 points for a takedown, you cut him, let him up, he gets one for the escape. So it's a 2-1 lead. You do it again, it's a 4-2 lead. I think it's so hard to take somebody down. You should get a point. We have too many people on the internet, I think. All right, guys, I think we had a pause right there. I think we got too many people on my internet. So sorry if there's any delays or skips. My kids are on their computers. And then I got Enrique Barzola is in town training. He just got in the other day, so he's going to be staying in training at AKA for his next fight, where he is one of the newly acquired fighters from Bellator, who's going to be going into the PFL. Oh. Okay, so what do we have? The tournament started off with heavyweights. They do that sometimes. They'll flip a coin and take a different weight to start the tournament or the dual meets off with. So the first match of the finals in the NCAA tournament was the heavyweights. Greg Kirkvallet and number 10. That was number one Kirkvallet versus number 10 Lucas Davison. Davison had a tremendous tournament, unbelievable tournament. This guy came out of nowhere, number 10. And he got worked in the finals, but he beat some really good guys to get there. Nothing to be sad about. He looked great. After the heavyweight match, they jumped back. Ramos, who was a 125 pounder who made it to the finals last year. He did not have a great tournament this year. We had number 3, Drake Ayala from Iowa, went up against Richard Figueroa. Figueroa winning 7-2. So it's a number 8 seed winning that tournament. And that was a tough weight class with a lot of good guys. Number 1 at 133. Number 1 Dayton Fix, Oklahoma State versus number 6 Vito Arruja. And Fix is a stud, built like a stud, super strong dude. This is his fourth time making it into the finals. He's a four-time finalist. It's insane. But he wasn't able to pull it out. He was the bridesmaid 4 times. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Nothing to be sad about. He lost to a stud, Arruja. His father was a bronze medalist, world champion. I think Vito, I could be wrong, but I think he won a world. Did he win a world title? You guys remember? Arruja was just, he's so slick with it. In your face, beat you up, win the fight, win the match. Vito, he was slick. He got in some nice positions to score 153. 141 is the next weight class. Number 1, Jesse Mendez from Ohio State versus number 2, Bo Bartlett from Penn State. Penn State set history, is setting history in this tournament. Mendez ended up getting the win. That's the one of those rare times that the number one seed, the number two seed, got in the places they're supposed to. Caleb Henson, Virginia Tech versus number six, Austin Gomez. Henson gets the win. I think he was like the second Hokie Virginia Tech competitor to ever win a national title. Next up, 157, Levi Haynes, another guy from Penn State, went up against Ja'Cory Teamer, and Haynes dominated 4-0 for the win. 165, Messenbrink from Penn State versus David Carr. David Carr won at 157 his freshman year. He's back now. I think this was senior now. His dad was a 2- or 3-time national champ from Iowa State. He's got a second one now. So he won 9-8. It was a close match. Watching it back, I think Messenbrink, if he would have been more aggressive earlier on, he might have come away with that win. You know, I think he was in a position to win that match, but Carr just stepped up and was able to do his thing. 174, Rocco Welsh, Ohio State. I'm not sure, but I think he was a younger guy. He might have been a freshman in there, coming in number six, going up against number nine, Sirachi. Now, Sirachi was a 3-time national champ already going into this tournament. He popped his knee. Not sure what the injury was, but he popped his knee, I think, at Big Tens. And he had 2 losses on his record because he had to pull out and forfeit those matches. Came back with a huge brace on his leg. Right, guys, this it doesn't get any more like fucking balls of steel than that. Are you kidding me? Dude probably has a torn ACL. Like, he didn't even want to talk about it after he won the national title. Like, he didn't even want to talk about it. No comment. That's what he said. So this guy limping around basically on one leg. He had to calm down his offense a little bit. And he wrestled the whole tournament. He won 4 matches with a bum knee and a giant leg brace on. And he still ends up winning. And then he wins his 4th national title. 4 national titles. That's insane. And that's not even the only guy on this tournament who won 4 national titles for Penn State. We'll get to that guy, though. 184, right? Parker Kekison from Northern Iowa versus Dustin Plott. Kekison is a stud. He just, every match I saw him in, he just ran through his opponents. Hard-nosed, came forward. Interesting to see where he goes next, if he's going to compete internationally or, I don't know, man. Some guys have certain styles that seem like they would translate. I feel like they seem like they would translate well over into fighting. I think Kekison is one of those guys who, he's hard-nosed, and the way he wrestles, I think, would translate well into fighting. So I don't know. Maybe someday we'll see him at 185 or 205. And then the last match of the tournament was 197. And it was number one seed Aaron Brooks from Penn State versus number two Trent Hilde. And Hilde is a stud, man. He had a great tournament. He was looking great. I kind of thought maybe he was having one of those tournaments and he was going to be able to come out on top. And Brooks just said, nope, no dice. You're not coming close. He picks up his fourth national title. 4 national titles. That's insane. Brooks is one of those guys too, I feel like, looks like he could cross over and fight. I say Hilde maybe even. Other little guys, I think Dayton Fix should fight. if he doesn't go to fight internationally, he just seems like a tough guy who would be tough in a fight. Maybe I'm wrong. But that was the NCAAs, man. And I don't know what to tell you if you don't want to take the time to understand and watch what that is. I just don't get it. I don't know. Oh, we'll get into that. We'll get into the bite there, Vanguard. Yeah, it'll be interesting. USA Wrestling has gotten a lot better. We got a lot of studs. I mean, Jordan Burroughs is absolute monster. It's awesome. Hamsmere, yeah, I saw there was a Bellator card, but like I didn't even know it was going on. Jeez. Like, do any of you ever know when they're coming on? When there's one on? It's like I open up my Instagram and it was like, this just happened in Bellator. I'm like, what? You have an event happening now? It's weird. It's totally weird. It is good to see that Scott Coker didn't have to take any time off from promoting, though, because he's not with Bellator now. He's doing his own new thing. I can't even remember the name of that new one, but he's doing a mixed style show, kind of like ONE Championship is doing. But yeah, I had no idea there was another. Yeah. Interesting. James asking about Conor McGregor. McConnor. No, I think, honestly, guys, I've said it before. I said it a while ago. He's done. He's never fighting again. His leg break, his ankle break was career ending. It was over. He is not fighting again. Everybody around that circle, everybody in that space, they know that he's not fighting again. They're just using him to milk as much money they can off of him while they can until the cat's out of the bag that he can't fight anymore. I think him knowing he can't fight anymore and like he's surrounded by yes men, he's surrounded by cocaine and alcohol and bad choices, and he's going to end up in a catastrophic, terrible choice. Sorry, that's just what's going on. Did we get zapped again? I think we might have. All right, I think we're still on. I got a little thing that said we were lagging, but I don't know. But yeah, I don't think Conor's ever fighting again. I don't think he was fighting again for a long time. I didn't watch it. There was a picture, and I saw some people writing stuff about it. But there was an interview. Him and Jake Gyllenhaal did a little press thing, and he looked awful. Conor looked awful. He looked coked up. He looked drunk. I don't think he's doing good. Yeah, he's like, and doing that, I think. It's not the camera, guys. It's my internet's acting lame. We back on. You guys seeing this? It's back on. We good. All right. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what's going on. This is irritating because these jackasses from the internet raised my damn rates again. It's been like in the last 3 years, it's gone up like 40, 50 bucks. It's like, you're not providing me any better service. You haven't put any new wires in the ground. Why the hell are you charging me more money? It's ridiculous. So I think, yeah, I said it before, quote me on it. He's done. He's not fighting again. There's no more Conor McGregor. They're trying to squeeze every last drop they can out of him. They're going to keep squeezing until they can get every dollar or cent they can before they finally let people know that, oh yeah, by the way, we knew his career was over with years ago. It's wild. All right. And then let's jump, right? Football, wrestling's done with. Let's jump over to the fights. I did not see this first fight. I chimed in, what, late. I chimed in kind of late. And where did I find it? I'm sorry. I wanted to show you guys. I did not see the bite. I didn't see the bite fight. But there was a picture that I think I should share with you guys. I think this one right here. Yep, there you go. It's this. You see the bite mark on the inside arm? Dude got a disqualification win, and I think they gave him a bonus for getting bit. And that bite mark, like, this guy, it looks like the guy had to have bitten or like had spit his mouthpiece out, because you have what looks like a clear impression of top and bottom teeth, where I would think that if you have a mouthpiece in, you're only going to get half a ring. Right? Wouldn't you think, you with the mouthpiece in? So this guy had to like spit out his mouthpiece in order to try to take a bite out of this guy. How bad of a fight are you having before you're like, nah, man, I'm just going to bite him. Fuck this guy. Like, seriously, what is it? I guess Mike Tyson had a moment like that once. Nah, I'm just going to bite him. I could take him down. I could maybe submit him or choke him, but nah, I'm gonna bite him. Yeah, it looks like a vaccine, one of those old vaccine marks. Yeah, not far off. Well, that's wild. So the guy got a bite. He bit him, lost. That was Lima, Andre Lima, with the win. And that was two guys who were 8-0 at the time. Igor Da Silva. Igor and Lima were undefeated. And one guy decided to bite the other one. Wild. I'm losing my guest. My live audience member stepping out. I think I tuned in right around the enough of it. Ogden got a on it, but he won. He won a decision. Next fight on the main card. The main card. First one was Padilla. Padilla and Pejuyo. And Padilla long legs, and he was able to and slid in a darce choke on the feet. Right, he started locking it up, kind of positioning himself on their knees, kind of in the fence, and then as they stood up, he locked it in, and was able to finish. I don't know if I've seen any other standing darce chokes. Dart choke like that. Have you guys ever seen one like that? Because you think of one? It was nice because he sunk the choke in, then he hipped in. He pushed in with his hips into the fence. That's tight. That was tight. He got a nice finish. It was a nice finish for Fernando. Billy Quarantillo versus Yosef Zalal. And Billy, it looked like he just didn't hear the starting gun. You know, he didn't pull the trigger. He was kind of just there. I don't know if he was having a bad night or felt sick. You know, not to take away. That night, so he got submitted round two. This kid Peyton Talbot and Cameron Saiman was somebody who has been getting pushed pretty hard by the UFC as a top prospect, somebody to look out for, somebody to watch. He's South African, and they really want to get into that South African market, so of course they're going to hype him as much as they can. But he's been solid in his performances. I can't knock way he has been handling his fights. And then comes Peyton Talbot. And Peyton Talbot was kind of all over him the whole fight. He just outclassed him. He was just overwhelmed. Hit him with a straight punch and followed him to the canvas, finished him off with the ground and pound. So it's the first I'm seeing Peyton or hearing of Peyton. So I'll have to make sure to keep an eye out him for the next time around. He looks like the real deal. Real deal Holyfield. AJ Dobson and Edmund Shahbazyan. And Shahbazyan is a stud. He's just a hard-hitting, pasty dude. And he came in first round as a middleweight. Big ground-and-pound punches. Just overwhelming stud. I'm pretty sure that's not the first time. It's not the first time we've seen him, right? Where was his last? It was last fight. He lost to Hernandez. Anthony Hernandez, really? Oh, man. That's right. He beat Dalcha Lungiambula. Lost to Hermanson. Lost to Amavov. So he's lost to some top guys. He's kind of lost to Brunson. He's kind of in that gatekeeper type position. You got to get by him if you plan on going anywhere. And Dobson was not prepared. Dobson is not prepared for that next rung of competition. He needs to reassess. Heavyweights. This was kind of like a weird mix him up, right? Justin Taffa. He got like injured or sick or whatever the last time he was supposed to fight, and his brother Junior took his place, stepped in and fought instead of him. And at the time, I didn't think it was smart for Junior just to step in that situation, because it was not a good matchup for no training. Like, I don't know. I think it's worse long-term for your career for that short-term bonus they may give you for taking a short notice fight. I think you got to take care of your career more, because he lost that fight. And then Justin comes in and takes this fight. It was probably Junior's fight, and he loses that too. So now both the Taffas have losses. Maybe they got backroom bonus of something, 25, 50 grand for taking one in the butt. But like, your long-term career is worse off for it. The fight itself between Williams and Taffa was not spectacular. You know, Williams looked solid, but, you know, I didn't see him display anything that was earth-shaking or shattering, you know, to mix up that division or put him in title contention anytime close. And let's see. Yeah, that was okay. So that's Carl Williams' first UFC fight. I'm not seeing any other fights. All right, okay, he beat Chase Sherman. There we go. He's got a win over Sherman. He's got a win over Bresky. Those are 2023 fights. Okay, so he fought twice last year. Both wins. So he's putting together some wins. But it wasn't like an extra special performance. It wasn't bad. But yeah, that was that. And then I didn't watch much of the main fight, but that was Namajunas and Ribas. And that was Namajama with the win. And that was UFC. Next fight is Blanchfield versus Furat. And it's just like, I'm sorry. You can hate me if you want to. I don't care. Like, I don't understand why you're putting these women fighters in main events. I don't, are they really, they're really selling? That's what's selling? My ass. You people are such suckers. You're such sucker dumb shits. You think, well, UFC's conservative and they're anti-woke. Bullshit. You guys are so stupid. You're the stupidest people ever if you think that. If you think, oh, yeah, they're Trump and Trump's a Democrat. Trump's a Democrat. Trump did lockdowns. Trump did the vaccine stuff. People are idiots. Left, right, left, right. My team is bigger. My team is bigger. You're stupid. You people are so stupid. I'm so sick of this nonsense. He's got to roll out Trump and Kid Rock to an event. Oh, they're so conservative. Fucking stupid. So sick of you stupid people. I'm getting ready to move out into the woods, guys. I'm just tired of the stupidness because it's everywhere. The idea that WME, William Morris, owns most of Hollywood. They own the UFC. The UFC is so Hollywood. It's the most Hollywood sport franchise. You guys not understand that? UFC is the most Hollywood sports franchise. They're not conservative. Not conservative at all. Yeah, Trump promotes trans models. Like, been divorced a bunch of times. Pays for hookers.